Good afternoon, Los Angeles and Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomena of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. Welcome to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. And today we have quite an interesting topic for you. As we take a look at two vital planets, Uranus and Saturn, in relationship comparison, today's topic is called Recognizing and Processing Karmic Relationships. There's one for you. You know, karma is a very funny thing. It's sometimes I kind of think karma can be borderline ridiculous, actually, because what happens in past lives is we do all these horrible things to people. You mean, you got to believe we've gone through the Middle Ages, we've gone through all these wars, the Napoleonic period, and just insane activities going on. There's been lots of murder and death and bloodshed. And I mean, we think about rejection today and then we feel the knife. Actually, you know what happens? Throughout time, believe it or not, we have actually murdered some of our lovers, or we've done worse than cheat on them. We've killed their lovers and so forth. And we come back in this day and age, and then we feel this tremendous attraction, an unbelievable magnetism to individual people. Have you ever had this vibration where you saw somebody and you felt so close to them, you felt so bonded to them that you couldn't resist them, and you were almost like putting in their hands? It's a little bit scary, but karmically speaking, what happens here when we have an attraction like that is sometimes it's very dangerous. Why? Because many times there's two reasons why we're attracted to people in any particular lifetime. The first reason, which is real rare, talk about, it's funny, I talked to my mom last night. She said, run out and buy me some lotto tickets. My dad says, it's 14 million to one to win the lotto, but I ran out and bought them anyway. But there's an occasional chance when you will meet what I refer to as your other half or your soul twin, which is literally a division of a single soul molecule, which can definitely be more than just soulmates. I think soulmates are people that have karma, that have debts with each other. Isn't it interesting? I'll give you an example. I may have killed my wife, let's be really berserk here, about 10 lifetimes ago. And then this lifetime, I'll come back and I'll see this woman who happens to have, say, Saturn in Scorpio on my moon, for example, squaring my four Leo planets. And then there's this unbelievable attraction that metaphysically a lot of people will say, gosh, we're so close. There's such an amazing vibration there that we must be soulmates, which definitely you are. But obviously, if you're killing somebody in a past life, you're not always the soul twin. Well, what happens? What happens when you meet someone that you actually murdered in a past life or did something horrible to, even torture? You wouldn't believe some of the stuff that went down through history. What happens is there's a major debt there. And sometimes we get involved in these relationships and we can't let go. And what happens is we become the victim and we end up getting tortured. It's not like we're going to come back and we're going to end up dying because we killed them. That isn't always the case. But you see, what I like to call it is I like to call it a Scorpio factor effect, which is almost worse than death, where you are so much in love with someone that eventually you can't have them. You know you can't have them. They're taken away from you for some reason or other. It's impossible for you to let go, and you torture yourself trying to process out of it. That is what I call a karmic relationship. This is really a very iffy subject because you can be attracted to your soul twin just as much as you can be attracted to someone that you have karma with. Now, in today's show, a very fascinating show, and I want to thank all the people that jumped to the phone lines like the horses were out of the gate, right? Grace, Doug, Julie, Dan, Silva, Robert, Marilyn, an old buddy called, and Judy, we're going to talk to all of them on the air today as we recognize and process karmic relationships. It is amazing that once we do identify that we have a karma with somebody, it's like someone saying, okay, you have a horse, and this horse can definitely win the Kentucky Derby. It can win the Triple Crown, the Preakness, and everything. But there's one problem. We have to take this horse away from you, you know, like your back taxes or something, and the government's coming to repossess this horse. I mean, it's really a very strange feeling when you think you have found what you need in life, what you love in life, what you are literally obsessed with in life, and then for whatever reason, it is taken from you. And always, always I have found that no matter what you do in any of your past lives, if you hurt other people, what you're really doing is hurting yourself. Because all people are a projection and a direct reflection of your own God self, because you are, in fact, the I Am force in the center of the universe. So whenever you do kill or torture or hurt another mate, what you're doing in the future is killing and torturing and hurting yourself. That's why I keep telling people that when you have karmic relationships with people, when an experience is set up that is painful, whether it's mental anxiety or emotional anxiety, even physical anxiety, because people can make themselves sick over relationships, believe it or not, the only logical way out of that is to kiss it off and send it away and say, okay, repossess the horse. I didn't want to win the Kentucky Derby anyway, which is a lie, because who wouldn't want to win that, right? But there have been several times in my life that I personally have been in love, I would say a handful of times, real big ones, because Dr. Peebles, it's funny, in a trance told me that 100 of my wives and spouses from past lives had reincarnated. Can you imagine? I got 100 or so wives. Actually, frankly, he said more closer to 200, but you know, I could believe that because I have really felt that close to a lot of women where I feel like we're in a marriage state. Might only last a couple months or 6 months or a year or two or even up to four, but I have actually felt that. A lot of us have returned because people say, well, Farley Malaris is incarnated about 50 or two or maybe 500 times. People say, well, is this my first life? Come on, we're talking about infinity here, eternity here. I doubt if any of us have had a first life up to 10 million years ago, maybe that far away. But when we get down to things here in this day and age, the name of the game is karma, and the name of the game is karmic absolution, which means that beings and spouses and husbands and wives and partners from past lives are going to come back into your life, and they're going to ring your karmic bell, and the key here, the signal is going to be pain or loss. Like you can walk into someone that's about to get married or someone that is married and go, my God, I have a vibe here that this is like a soulmate. And that could be very true. And that's where the pain of the karma comes in, because you do recognize the fact that there is someone there that you can be tremendously close to and have a tremendous bond with. But the problem is they're already attached. Remember we talked about infidelity yesterday? That's where that comes in, where you are involved and you do make that commitment. And then meanwhile, your soul is screaming, your higher mind is screaming, but Farley, you came into this dimension to absolve karma, not to have commitment. You know, so they're going, but I want to get married. I want to settle down. I want to have some commitment. But every time I try to have commitment, more spouses and husbands and wives or whatever from past lives crop up. And then I find myself feeling different types of love vibrations for many people. And a lot of people experience this. Well, let's find out in today's show how you do identify a karmic relationship. Let's talk about numbers here, okay? Numbers. Rising sign, moon sign, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn. Let's check your charts and see if you have karma with Uncle Farley. Got anything at 20 Libra? Got anything at 5 Cancer? Anything? That's where my Venus is. How about 15 Libra? There's a big one. My Mars. Then I have Sun at 18 Leo. And let's see, here's another big one. Jupiter at 19 Sag. Whenever you meet people that have planets sitting on your planet's exact numbers, like, frankly, I was thinking on the way to the show here today, I was playing my favorite singer, Phil Collins, Against All Odds from the movie. And it reminded me of this Leo with Libra rising at 20 degrees, who I loved very much and tried to marry, in fact, very hard, very difficult. And recalling that this woman had Saturn in Scorpio at 16 degrees on my moon and her Mars on my sun and her rising exactly Libra 20 right where mine was, then identified that as a karmic relationship. I think my guides were reminding me of this particular instance just to help inspire me to do this topic today, because that was a gut-wrenching relationship. When I finally realized that it was against all odds to have that relationship, because eventually she wouldn't have me, although she did want me for 2 full years and I wasn't ready for it, when I finally came around, she was gone. Then we're talking about months of anxiety and tears and sadness. And by the way, this was going on while I was beginning in the middle of a 4-year trek here in the astrology hour. But do you know what kind of growth that I got? Spiritual growth. I was able to do things with my will. I was able to conquer some of my self-destructive behavior and overcome some of my negative tendencies and behavioral patterns. Unbelievable. By confronting, tackling, and then finally absolving and processing with tremendous courage this type of relationship. So more than anything, I want to announce to you, the people of the world in Southern California, that if you do identify karmic relationships, don't avoid them, tackle them, you know, dive in there. But just remember that you are subject to being obsessed and involved and in love and insecure about it if it is karmic, because there may be a major debt there concerning a murder or a rejection or disloyalty, like a triangle of some kind, that when the truth does eventually come out, it is up to you to be brave and courageous and admit, hey, this is a karma. This is part of the reason why I was born, to learn this lesson, to absolve it, to process this person out of my life, bless them into the light, and to go on with my spiritual growth. I think the problem with a lot of people today is that we fall into ruts. We fall into a rut. We can't get out of the rut. We won't get out of the rut. We refuse to get out of the rut. We anchor ourselves and shackle ourselves onto these horrible entities, people that have no intention of all of spending any of their lives with us at all. And we're sitting there, we have hope, right? Where there's life, there's hope, right? Except where there's karma, sometimes there's no hope. Let's talk some more about numbers here. Saturn, it happens to be a young lady in the studio here, one of our winners here. I'm going to keep everybody anonymous today. But I had a tremendous attachment to her when I walked in. I remembered her from not only the bookstore, the Spectrum, but from a past life. And looking at her chart, I noticed, wow, she's got Saturn at 5 Libra, exactly square my Venus at 5 Cancer. Boy, was I happy to hear she's getting married in February. So that really saved me a lot of hassle, because you don't want to meet someone who has Saturn square your Venus that's available, because that is an identifiable karmic relationship, which means we can absolve this thing with a smile and a thank you. And she gave me a beautiful handkerchief with a Leo, Libra, Scorpio, my three majors sewn in on there. So obviously there is a connection, but she's getting married, so I'm safe. But in the past, whenever I'd met anyone with Saturn in Cancer on my Venus at 5 degrees, or Saturn in Libra, square my Venus, or Saturn in Capricorn, oppose my Venus, or Saturn in Aries at 5 degrees, then these are identifiable possible spouses or partners or people where there might have been a debt from a past life. And sometimes it's best to just say hello, shake hands, and walk on by. That's a good song that I like too. So, you know, whenever you find someone that has Saturn that is conjunct or square or opposed exactly your Venus, your Moon, your Ascendant, or your Mars, karma is definitely the situation there. See, Saturn is the planet that lets us know where our debts are. Saturn tells us what we did in a past life, what we earned, for better or for worse. And it also gets into areas of growth and absolution, where it shows us what our obsession is. Of course I'm going to be tremendously attracted to someone who has Saturn square my Venus. That's why I'm always glad that when they're married or involved, because my personal laws say stay away when someone is connected with all this philosophy here. But Uranus is another bugger, right? Let's say Uranus in a comparison chart. Now, we're always talking about one person's chart to another. So you might be married for 5 years and you'll look at your husband's chart and go, my God, his Saturn's on my Mars. Or look at your Saturn and see it square his Moon and go, wow, I've been married for 7 years. No wonder there's been such pain. This is a karma. This is a debt here. And I'm not saying get divorced, because sometimes, you know, when you recognize a karma, you feel like it. But a lot of times, then you can understand why the pain, the anxiety, and the growth. And Uranus is what we call the great infatuator. Boy, Uranus will really reel them in. That's like fishing and hooking a big one, right? You hook somebody with that Uranus. Uranus in a comparative chart, if a lover's Uranus is sitting on your Venus or Mars or Moon, or square your Venus, Mars, or Moon, then that is a short fuse relationship, or one that is subject to quick beginning and just a sudden ending, that we will also identify as a karmic growth pattern. Now, we're going to talk more about recognizing and processing karmic relationships. Good afternoon, Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s, heard weekdays, 12 noon to 1 o'clock, and Tuesdays, 12 noon to 2 o'clock on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative in Redondo Beach, Los Angeles. And we're talking about recognizing and processing karmic relationships. And like I say, this is a very vital topic in order to have growth in your life. And it can be fun and exciting if you meet people, for example, that have your same exact rising sign. Like whenever I meet another woman with 20 Libra rising, I don't need to get to know her because I feel like I already do. Or another person that has Venus at 5 Cancer like me, or Mars at 15 Libra. There's definitely a similarity, and there's definitely a substance or an essence that we sense, that we feel, that is accompanied with meeting people that have our same numbers. There are 360 numbers in the zodiac, 30 degrees to each sign, 0 to 29, okay, for each sign, because once we get to 30, we're at the next sign already, 0. And that's why I keep telling you, take the time to write down all your planets by degree. The first number is the degree. That's the important one. The second number is the minute. God forbid you should find somebody that has a planet in their chart, same degree and same minute, because we're talking da-da-da-da-da-da when it gets to that. But same degree is very, very powerful. And that's why I tell everybody, sit down and memorize all your planets, sun, moon, and rising by degree. And that way, when you meet new people and do their charts or look at their charts, you can check their numbers right off the bat in your head. Because someone might say, oh yeah, I've got an 18 degree Leo moon. And I go, well, it's right on my sun. That's a close friend aspect. Let's check this out. And that can be very fun. But like I say, when you find people who have trines and sextiles in comparison, exact trines and sextiles to planets in your chart in comparison, then these people offer dharmic influence. There were deeds that were done and shared with people in a past life. A trine, of course, is a similar element, like fire trine, fire complements, Aries to Leo, Leo to Sag, Sag to Aries. Water complements would be Pisces, Scorpio, and Cancer. And then air would be Aquarius, Libra, and Gemini, and earth would be Capricorn, Virgo, and Taurus. You're not always going to be attracted to those people with trines and sextiles because your higher mind and your soul is going to want you to absolve karma. And that's why you're so many times more often attracted to people that have squares and oppositions. It's always the challenge that attracts our higher mind and beckons us to get involved with these people and find out where the lesson is. And you know, it's a trap many times, because you are subject to falling deeply in love and just blown out of the water with your energy, just taking all your power and giving it to someone where, in case they do crush your heart or reject you, the emptiness and the vacuum is quite obvious. And the ones that you will fall like that for will be the ones whose Uranus does square your Venus or Mars. And, you know, a square, like I say, is when a planet is exactly three signs away from a planet in your chart. For example, Pisces, Mars, okay, Mars and Pisces at, let's say, 19 degrees in a woman's chart, getting involved with a young guy who's got Uranus and Virgo 19 degrees opposed that Mars, that's a very heavy karma. And I don't want to mislead you, but there's only a few exceptions where I've seen Uranus and Saturn squares survive that long. It happens. It will happen. I don't want you to feel like there's no hope. If you do have a relationship, the odds are not too great. We're talking about lotto odds here, right? But in most cases, you do see lots of pain, lots of karma, lots of soul growth whenever another person's Saturn is conjunct, square, or opposed a critical planet in your chart, sometimes any planet, or someone else's Uranus is conjunct, square, or opposed a critical planet in your chart. I call the love planets Mercury for communication, Venus for love and sex and romance, also Mars for romance and sex, and the Moon for emotions, sometimes the Sun for identity. Squares to Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto sometimes aren't that extreme. Of course, if you have a Uranus square Uranus in a relationship chart, that means you're dealing with someone who's many generations away from you, so that kind of karma is going to be pretty deep anyway, Uranus square Uranus in a relationship comparison. So basically, what do you do when you recognize you have this karmic relationship? Well, number one, accept the fact that it is a karma. And number two, recognize that there may be a timing element involved here, which means that this relationship may not be forever. I hate to blow everyone's minds here, but all things must and do pass, especially in this dimension. Unfortunately, nothing is forever in this dimension. Everything is forever beyond this dimension. So we are forever bond and involved and loved by everyone beyond Earth. But in our limited guise here, we are sort of tricked or under the illusion that we have bonding and connection with people, and it doesn't last. Because somebody's going to either break up or die or move on or reject. So unfortunately, all relationships do end. Unless both of you get it in a car crash or a plane crash at the same time, which in a way can be like a lover's leap effect, all things do eventually pass. So what you do have to recognize, if it is a karma, then there is definitely possibly even a shorter time element involved in how long this relationship will last. And if the symptoms of it ending, or if it becomes fairly obvious that this is eventually a no-win situation, like buy that song, Against All Odds by Phil Collins, and listen to it, because eventually you get to a point in a relationship that is karmic. It is against all odds that you will ever get back with each other, or at least it seems that way. And then you can assume a much stronger position by getting back into that self-love, that God-love, that spiritual quality, personal meditation, and start processing this obsession with something that's not going to work. So when you do recognize that it is a karma, then it is important for you to start the process And my favorite way of doing the process, of course, is avoid the physical, which means no more physical contact and not only sex, but not even seeing or talking to each other. And then start processing the emotional, which means the laughing, the crying, the hysteria that follows the loss. And then the anxiety, the mental, which means sometimes getting therapy or talking it out with friends and shaking it out and chilling it out and sometimes vomiting it out or whatever. And also the spiritual part, which is the prayer and getting back in touch with the God self and the God force and your own messianic qualities that will help you rise above anything, hopefully, in this dimension. Okay, heavy topic. I know there's reasons why I do topics. Sometimes I feel my personal group of guides gets together before every show and delivers exactly what is needed for the group of people that are listening. So there must be a lot of people out there listening that need to know how to recognize, identify, and process their karmic relationships. And this happens to be a show that I did way back in 1986. So it's been about 2 years when I've spent this much time on this particular topic.